Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service. We especially welcome those of you who are members of our congregation, and also those of you who may not be members of our congregation, but who are joining with us this morning. We hope you find our service fulfilling and helping with your worship of God. I want to welcome also Maryelle Pinkerton. Maryelle is the Auxiliary Minister at First Bangor and no stranger to Ballycrocken. She has led our services on many occasions in the past. And this morning, I want to say a special thank you to her because she has traveled all the way from Lisburn in what are at times hazardous road conditions. So Maryelle, we thank you for your journey here and we pray that you have a safe journey home. Last week, we had a minor problem in streaming our service. And we apologize to those of you who tried to join the service last week and were unable to. We hope that that problem has been resolved for this week and that everyone can enjoy the service. The only announcement I have is that storehouse collections will occur this week as they have done in each of the previous weeks, 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock here at church. And if you wish to bring your weekly offering, that will be received also. Those are our announcements this morning. I now ask Maryelle to lead our service of worship. Thank you.
Good morning. It's lovely to be with you again. And I realised I've been coming here for about 5 years now and helping to lead worship, and that's been a lovely time for me. So even though we are meeting remotely this morning, let's remember that God's word is not bound and his spirit is not limited to one place. Listen to the call to worship in the words of the psalmist. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. My soul will boast in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Let's praise him. Let's rejoice in the words of that lovely hymn, Come, People of the Risen King.
All
We give you all the glory. You are a great and powerful God, and we love you. Thank you that you are an all-seeing, all-knowing God. You know when we wake and when we sleep. You know when we go out and when we come in. You know when we are happy and when we are sad. You are familiar with all our ways. Thank you that you love us and care deeply about each one of us. Lord, we praise you for the unity that we see in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We thank you for the ways in which there is mystery, creativity, and diversity. We praise you for the perfect relationship that exists within the Trinity, a relationship that we can seek to imitate and live out with your help. Thank you for sending Jesus to die for our sins so that we can move from the darkness of sin to the light of your Son. Thank you for your Spirit that dwells within us and comforts and counsels us. Thank you, Father, for your love and care which surround us. Lord, we praise you for your care over us this last week and the times when we have known your presence. Reveal yourself to us today through your word. May we know a refreshing and renewing touch from your Spirit. Lord, make our praise acceptable to you this morning. Forgive us, Lord, for the times when we have grieved your Holy Spirit in this past week, through word and thought and deed, and in the things we have left unsaid and undone. Let's pause and take a few moments to reflect on our week and ask the Lord to bring those times to mind. Lord, we come to you now in repentance, asking your forgiveness. Come and cleanse us. Soften our hearts to be receptive to your Holy Spirit. Lord, we ask you to breathe upon us once again. Make our hearts like your heart. We ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to read some verses now from Numbers in the Old Testament. And in this short passage, God gives Moses some instructions to help the people live a more consecrated and godly life. Now, these verses may seem a little bit strange to us, but all will become clear later. Just listen to them now. Numbers chapter 15. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, throughout the generations to come, you are to make tassels on the corners of your garments with a blue thread on each tassel. You will have these tassels to look at, and so you will remember all the commands of the Lord, that you may obey them and not prostitute yourselves by going after the lusts of your own hearts and eyes. Then you will remember to obey all my commands and will be consecrated to your God. I am the Lord, your God, who brought you out of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord, your God." Some of us may not feel like singing these days with all that's going on, but we still have many reasons to praise God, even when things are bad. So let's join together and sing that hymn, 10,000 Reasons. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Sing like never before. slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and then
Our second reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5, commencing at verse 21. Let's try and imagine and get ourselves right into the scene of this miracle. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under many doctors and had spent all she had, yet instead of getting better, she got worse. When she heard about Jesus, She came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt free in her body. She was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned round in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding around you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." We're going to continue now with our prayers for others. Let us pray. Father, we thank you that you hear us as we pray for others, and so we come confidently before your throne this morning. Lord, we pray for all those who feel weighed down by the stresses and strains of life, and for those who are finding it hard to adjust to the ever-changing restrictions placed on them by COVID-19, the lack of freedom, and the ever-growing sense of isolation. We think of those who are unable to see family members and of those who are unable to visit loved ones in care homes. Lord, may all concerned experience a sense of your peace and your presence, even as we pray for them today. Lord, we think of those who are ill or have recently been bereaved. Be their comfort when they are unable to have as many friends around them as they would normally have. And Father, we pray for all those who work with the ill or vulnerable. We remember especially the NHS staff who are offering themselves selflessly for the good of others. We pray for staff who are burnt out and have even resigned due to the demands of the pandemic. Restore them again to full health of body, soul, and spirit. And Lord, we thank you for the vaccines that are being rolled out across the province. We pray for a steady supply and for them to be effective in preventing spread of the disease. And Lord, as we think of that, we remember those in underdeveloped countries who don't have enough money to buy the vaccines. Lord, we pray that you would provide for them. And Father, we pray for those who have lost work recently due to the pandemic or are currently facing redundancy. We ask for a sense of your peace and that you would provide for them and their families. Lord, show us if you want us to be a part of the answer. Father, we pray for work to come their way and that they might not lose heart because of the circumstances, but instead trust you. And Lord, this morning we think of Joe Biden, the new president of the United States. We ask that you would fill him with wisdom and discernment as to the decisions he has to make. We pray that you would bring wise counsel around him. We thank you that he prays and acknowledges you. Fill him with your spirit throughout his presidency. And this morning we pray for the congregation here at Ballycrocken, for those who are unable to worship with us for a variety of reasons, for those who have drifted away from church. Lord, speak to them once again by your Spirit. We thank you that even though we are in another lockdown, which affects us meeting together, we are united by your Spirit. Keep us strong and close to you in these days. And Lord, we pray for Session as they seek God for a new minister. Give them your wisdom and discernment. And we thank you for the Reverend Colin McGaugh, who is convening the vacancy, and his wise counsel. And Lord, we ask all these things in your name. Amen. In these days of uncertainty, God is the only person that we can truly depend on. So let's sing that lovely hymn, Faithful One. Let us pray together as we come to consider God's word. Father, we thank you for your word and how it can teach us. And Lord, we pray today that our hearts might be open to hear what you're saying to us. And Lord, I ask that you would take these few thoughts now and use them to your glory. And we ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. There is a town called Magdala on the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And it was the place that Mary Magdalene came from, hence her name. But in her day, it was only a village. And in Magdala itself, there is a church that is quite amazing. And when you go into it at the front, you will see quite a large boat in the church. And when you sit down, you can imagine that you're actually on the Sea of Galilee with Jesus and the disciples. It's quite something. But when you go downstairs in the church, there is something even more fascinating. There is a whole wall-to-wall picture of the miracle that we just read together. But it's only the bottom third, and all you can see are feet. People walking along, lots of people. And you can see Jesus and the hem of his garment. And then you see this thin hand of a woman reaching out and touching it. What she does is very significant, and we're going to unpack that. But first of all, let's spend a minute or two setting the scene. The miracle comes right in the middle of Jairus asking Jesus to come and heal his daughter, who's about to breathe her last. Now, Jairus was quite important because he was one of the rulers in the synagogue. So here we have Jesus, in one sense, on his way to an emergency. But in another, Jesus is never in a hurry. You never read of Jesus actually running anywhere. But instead, he's in constant communication with the Father so that he knows what to do and where to be. So he's free to make time for the woman who throws a curved ball into his schedule. What about us? Have we got time for the people that God brings across our path? Do we even notice them? Are we too busy running on to the next thing or the next person on our agenda? Do we even ask God for opportunities? It's perhaps something for us to reflect on. The woman touches Jesus, and suddenly he feels healing power go out from him. And he senses also the woman's need to be heard. Now, from the Greek, we know it's a woman he's looking around for. So everything is in a state of suspense. Jairus and his dying daughter, the crowd pressing against Jesus, and then this unexpected woman. You could almost call this a tale of the unexpected. Let's turn to this woman. We're going to think about three things this morning. Who was she? What happened to her? And then what is the invitation for you and I today? So who was this woman? I used to work on a hematology ward in the Royal, which I really loved. And we saw people coming in who were severely anemic for various reasons. And after a few pints of blood, they were full of energy and completely new people. It was just so rewarding to look after them. But the woman we're talking about here wouldn't have had any blood transfusions. She wouldn't even have had any iron tablets, and she would have had to rely on her diet alone to make up for her blood loss and to boost her depleted iron supplies. So she would have felt dizzy and weak, lots of headaches, and really on the point of collapse after bleeding for 12 years. And this was a woman who was treated as an outcast because she suffered from this chronic continual bleeding. And she had been labelled ritually unclean by the religious leaders. And so she was subjected to Levitical law. She was unable to touch others or to be touched herself. Anyone she touched would be defiled and would have to go through ritual cleansing. And I think in these days of COVID-19, we understand a little bit of where she was coming from. For months now, there have been lots of people that we haven't been able to touch, and they haven't been able to touch us. And our hugometers, as they call them, are very low. I can't wait to get more hugs again. And this woman was also ostracized by the synagogue, or today we'd call it the church. She wasn't free to go to worship. She wasn't free to meet people or touch people or even mix in society. She was worse than a leper, because at least the lepers, they lived in colonies and they had each other. But she had nobody. And to draw a modern day comparison, she was in total non-stop lockdown. She was locked down, locked up, and locked in emotionally because of her condition. She experienced loneliness, rejection, and isolation. And even maybe rumours of her condition being caused by sexual sin. So she'd suffered shame and degradation. And she'd been like this for 12 long years. And it sounds like that she'd been a woman of some substance. She'd gone to lots of doctors, but she didn't get any relief from her suffering. In fact, it made her worse, as well as draining her of all her money. So she appeared to be totally on her own. No doubt her husband had long since left her because of her condition. So her hope has almost gone, and then she hears about Jesus. She hears of a healer who costs nothing, has no fee, and also he's a rabbi. He even heals lepers, and that's how she feels, that she's a leper, an outcast, an untouchable. And we're going to realize in a few minutes that she was a Jewess, a daughter of Abraham, because of her actions. Now let's go way back to the book of Numbers, which I read at the beginning. And in the book of Numbers, the Lord tells Moses to instruct the people to make tassels on the corner of their garments, which are called tzitzit. Now, this may sound very strange to you and I, but as they looked at the tassels, they were to remember the commandments of the Lord. They were to remember them and not to follow their own desires. They were to look at the tassels, they were to remember the commands, and they were to keep them. And on the corner of every tassel, there was a blue cord. And blue was the color of royalty and priesthood. And of course, in those days, they would have had long, flowing robes, whereas now the tzitzit can merely just be worn round the waist by men. And here's the really exciting bit. If you made a request to a rabbi, and then after that you actually touched this blue tassel, your request could not be denied. It had to be fulfilled, couldn't be refused. And so this helps us to understand the woman in this passage who reached to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She touched one of the tassels with the blue running through it. She couldn't request, but she could do the next best thing. She could touch Jesus. She knew what she was reaching for, and he also knew. He felt from her touch. The writers Spangler and Verberg, in their book Sitting at the Feet of Rabbi Jesus, gives us a bit more insight when they tell us in Jesus' day the garments people wore showed their status in society, and the hem was especially important, as it symbolized the owner's identity and authority. So it was actually seen as the holiest part of the garment. And often legal contracts were signed by pressing the corner of your hem into the clay. It was a bit like your seal, or today, your credit card. It's just all so interesting. So they say in the case of this woman, they write, Jesus' purity was so great that instead of becoming defiled by her touch, it healed her impurity. I think that's just beautiful. So this woman risks everything to get down on the ground and touch the hem of Jesus' garment. She goes for it secretly, down amongst all the feet. And then the most wonderful thing happens. Immediately she feels that her bleeding has stopped, and she is fully well. And she hasn't been like that for 12 years. And she's just getting over that when the most awful thing happens. Jesus knows somehow that he's healed somebody, and he's looking around to see who it is. Now the disciples think he's lost it, because the crowd is pressing around him to the point of suffocation. We know that from the Greek. Everybody's touching him. And here, once again, we are reminded of what I call the attractiveness of Jesus. People followed him, not just for the miracles and the healing, but for his teaching, for his words, and above all, for him as a person. And I just wonder, how attractive are we to others? Who is following us because we've been with Jesus? Can they smell his fragrance from our lives? But back to this woman, there are differences between her touch and that of the crowd. Her touch was deliberate, and it was also backed by some sort of faith. And then her touch had a result. She was healed. And the word used there for power is the word dunamis that Jesus uses. It's the word we get from dynamite. He feels the surge of power leaving his body, and he knows someone has touched him with the express reason of being healed. And suddenly this woman knows she has to say that it's her. And she's terrified because the religious leaders might even stone her for making a rabbi unclean. She's petrified to speak, firstly as a woman, and then about her intimate illness in front of the crowd. And so she prepares herself to be humiliated. But it doesn't happen. Jesus meets her at her level of faith, and he calls her out in order to increase her faith, in order to build her up, to underline her healing, and to bring her back into society. It wasn't enough for her to believe in her heart. She needed to confess with her mouth. And so her confession not only gives her reassurance of healing, but also gives a greater understanding of what Jesus himself has done for her. When was the last time we talked to someone about what Jesus has done for us? When was the last time we told them about our ongoing life testimony and how Jesus is working in our lives? We don't know what age the woman was, but Jesus speaks to her as a father would to a child. Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace. We need to remember Jesus wasn't that old. He's only in his early 30s here. Go in peace. Peace was a new thing to her. She'd never had it since the bleeding began 12 years ago. And the Greek text here has the whole idea of peace as shalom, a wholeness in body, soul, and spirit. So a woman out of lockdown, healed in every way, and ready to integrate back into society, thanks to being recognized as healed by a rabbi. And what about us today? Who do we look to in lockdown? Do we depend on our own strength to cope? Do we look to someone else in our family, to our neighbors? Or do we actually look to Jesus, the Lord of the lockdown, in that he has allowed it to happen? Are we desperate enough to reach out to Jesus for that healing touch? We're in the middle of a pandemic. Things couldn't be worse. It's time to cry out to Jesus, for him to have mercy on us, on our land, and on this world. Now is the time to pray. Perhaps we're struggling with our job as key workers. Doctors and nurses and paramedics are all on their knees. Maybe it's our own anxiety over our mental health, over COVID-19, over our job situation or lack of it. Maybe, sadly, it's our grief we need to bring to Jesus, our finances, or whatever else. Who do we look to for healing? And what sort of a touch do we need this morning? Is it perhaps a spiritual one? Do we feel as if we're going through the motions in our Christian life? We look okay on the outside, but inside we know things aren't good. Our quiet time isn't happening anymore, or if it is, it doesn't amount to much. And so we feel dried up, not hearing from God. We're exhausted and we're washed out by all that's going on. And nothing but nothing feels secure anymore. We can't control things. We used to feel secure in our jobs, in planning our holidays, getting the kids to school, and enjoying activities in the church. And now it's all different. Yes, except for one thing. It's all different except for God. He's still the same and can be trusted. He can take the anxiety out of this lockdown. But we need to be like that woman and go to him in desperation for that healing touch. Let's come to Jesus with all our needs. He's the only one who can meet them. Our needs for love, acceptance, and self-worth. We need to stay in constant communication with him so that we can live above our circumstances when we're still in the midst of them. I'd like to invite you now to close your eyes for a few moments and imagine that you are there in that crowd and Jesus comes along. Imagine yourself reaching out to touch the hem of his garment for healing in some area of your life today. Let's be quiet for a short time. Lord, thank you that you are the great healer. We choose to trust you in this lockdown. And may we have a story to tell like that woman when things open up again. But until then, we look to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. We're going to end with that wonderful hymn, which gives us someone to look to in lockdown. Be thou my vision.
Thou my great Father.
benediction. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.